All right, Pete. I'm ready whenever you are, ma'am.
Okay. Welcome to the Beer and Loathing Podcast. My name is Pete M., and I'm joining Sam Sly and Zach from Paradox Brewery and Paradox.
Chain reaction.
Damn it. I'm sorry. Let's do that again.
Almost.
Only about 75 miles away.
Welcome to the Beer and Loathing Podcast. My name is Pete M. I'm joined by Sam Sly and Zach from Chain Reaction Brewing Company out in Denver. I'm in Grand Rapids. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to our one listener listening.
And thank you, Zach, for hosting us in the brewery.
Yeah, thanks for coming down, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Any excuse I can...
awesome, thank you.
An excuse I can make to come down to this side of town.
Yeah, for sure. We'll hopefully have a good party tonight, so...
Oh, yeah. I can almost guarantee that. But, yeah, man. So we did some on-site shows about last year. We were working with the Denver Nut Company. We were doing that kind of peanut butter toffee. The toffee porter. That is a tongue twister for me, apparently.
Yeah, that was almost a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot has happened. I'm looking back at your equipment and stuff, and I'm seeing a lot more shiny stuff than I remember there being.
Yeah, I'm a lot broker than I used to be.
But that'll help making more beer to fix that problem.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, we moved up from being a one-barrel brewery to a seven-barrel.
Nice.
We, Lone Tree Brewing, moved to a 20-barrel, so we actually bought their seven-barrel and their fermenters from them.
Oh, nice.
So it's just kind of the history of the brew system is... pretty cool because we're actually the fourth brewery to own it now.
Okay.
The brew system originated, we believe, somewhere out in Michigan.
Oh, cool.
With a brewery named Fuggle Brewing.
Okay.
Nobody's ever heard of them. We think they probably went out of business in about 1999.
Okay. That was before I was legal drinking age, so I definitely wouldn't have been there. Pete, were you even born in 99?
Nope, I was born 2 years later, 2001, my year.
And then from there, it kind of got its name up at Aspen Brewing Company.
Oh, okay. That's where it started out in Colorado then?
Yeah, and then it went to Lone Tree, and now it's with us, so that's kind of cool. It's also the little sister of Twisted Pine's original 10-barrel system.
Oh, so it's got some cool Colorado history.
Yeah, it's got some ties. It's influenced by a lot of the old dairy stuff that was going around in the early 90s and how a lot of those guys got started. So
do you know if the secondary market for equipment like that's kind of heating up with how many breweries are opening up?
You can't find anything used anymore. It's all bought up. It's all, you know, there's so many breweries now that not many people are letting go of their old stuff, and if they are, you got to know somebody that knows somebody that must get it, you know?
Well, that's cool. Well, I mean, that's good then that you knew somebody to get your hands on this.
Yeah, it's been a good deal.
That's cool. Was it able to all fit inside
your
facility all right?
Yeah, everything fit well. With it, we brought in 5 7-barrel fermenters.
Okay.
We built a new cold room, got rid of the office, and just created more keg space to where... you know, production could go up as high as 700% of what we were at. So
that's a huge increase.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It looks really pretty. I loved your old setup with the one barrel system.
And it's still there. It's behind the kegs.
Is it all right?
There,
cool.
But we still keep it to do. We still do 2 barrels and 1 barrel batches of just various stuff. Some of the weirder stuff. We've been having a lot of fun doing some second running these beers.
Oh, yeah.
As far as you know, you mash and you get your original beer, you're dumping out all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, off of the 7-barrel, we can get a barrel worth of the second runnings of the creme brulee or the Belgian rice stout and still have a 5%, 7% beer.
We've, the buddy I used to brew with back in Michigan, we kind of played around with the Party Guile style like that too.
It's fun and really, I mean, it's my way that I can offer you a $4 pint, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting my money from the original batch, but now I'm also being able to get this it's kind of just that added bonus, you know? It's like the onion in your fucking bag of french fries.
Yeah, onion ring in the fries. Yeah. Boom. Fuck yeah. That's cool.
Tell me about the beers you guys are drinking.
Yeah, what are you sipping on, Zach?
I actually have it's a Belgian pale ale that I came up with the recipe. It was a collaboration with Lone Tree when they were kind of helping us learn the system. It's a Belgian pale ale that is influenced spice-wise by a Belgian wit.
Okay.
So it's spiced with lemon, coriander, and orange peel, lightly hopped with some Saaz and Cascade, and then uses yeast that Inland Island was, you know, trying to get a little bit more publicity on. And
oh, I gotcha.
So it was kind of a experimental yeast that we used at the time.
Yeah, some good PR for them, too.
Yeah, so it was kind of fun. And so that's what I'm drinking.
That's fun. I'm having your Doppelbock right now.
Yeah, Ednicker Doppelbock.
It's very good.
That's actually the first lager that Chad and I have ever brewed. We didn't brew a lager at home. We've never apprenticed anybody in a lager. We never did a one-barrel lager batch. We just one day said, well, let's try it.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
That's cool. No, this one turned out good.
Yeah, I like it because it's not as fruity as a traditional Doppelbock.
Yeah. It's still pretty sweet, but it's not that fruity sweet.
Polliner Salvatore is one of my favorite beers of all time.
Okay.
And I like this one because I think it has a little bit more caramel to it.
Okay.
A little bit more biscuit.
I don't know if I've had the Polliner before. I know I think I've had their wit beer.
Okay.
But I don't think I've had their Doppel.
Yeah, it's a good Doppelbock to check out. Like, it's available, I think, fall through spring, so.
Okay. I'll check it out. I finally figured out where Argonaut hides all their actual German beer.
Oh, there you go.
So, now that I know where it's at.
Spaten's got a good one, too.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. I actually bought a bunch of German beer because for New Year's Eve I went to a friend's apartment and he's German, so he was calling it Sylvester, like doing some German tradition things where they dump molten lead in the water and it's supposed to read your future for the year and all that shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll bring some wheat beers because he talked about having just like a stocked liquor bar. Yeah. And by the time I showed up I was 2/3 in the bag, and so I don't even remember what I had, and I usually keep the caps, and the caps are gone. All memory is just gone.
Yeah.
But Peter, you drinking something classy over there?
I actually tried to do it Denver style, so I got an epic Pils Lager Hop Syndrome.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yep.
Epic do good work.
Yeah, they just announced they're going to do that, Session Sour line.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, they're going to release, I think it's like 3 or 4 different beers, but they're going to be sessionable sour beers.
Cool. I'm on board with that.
And I know they were just out somewhere looking at just some crazy huge fooders to expand that sour program.
Okay.
Out there, so.
Do you know if they're going to be like kettle sours? Are they going to be like in the barrel?
I think with the fooder they'll do the barrel type stuff. Since it's just the big wooden fermenter.
Yeah, no, I'd look forward to that. I mean,
just like New Belgium, what they've got up there. If you've ever seen those.
Not yet. No, I haven't taken the tour.
It's crazy.
I've just been in their tap room, and it's massive. I mean, yeah. Pete, actually, next time you come out, we should think about going up to Fort Collins for several reasons, but New Belgium makes Founders Facility, the last time I saw it at least, look like a kid's play still. It's just huge.
Oh, rad. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Founders announced that they're expanding now?
Yeah. They're making a second location, I think.
I was just reading an article before you walked in about something about them expanding to Union Station out there or something.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be a second production facility, right, Pete?
Yeah, basically, and they're going to be doing a little bit more experimental and, you know, just bigger beers there.
Good.
So, yeah, it's going to be really cool. I drive by that old train station all the time. So,
yeah,
it's like right next to the expressway. It's just a really beautiful building. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I couldn't quite picture exactly where that spot was when I saw the picture, but I haven't been back in like 3 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You lose your way.
Maybe to jog your memory, it's like 131 in Franklin. It's right where Franklin comes off of 131.
Okay.
On the east side of the expressway, there's that old train station building.
Yeah. There used to be a furniture store over there or something, too, I think. I don't remember. Furniture City, USA.
Furniture and beer, man.
So you digging that that epic, Pete?
Yeah, I am.
That's a proper Denver crossover, I guess.
It's a little light. Isn't it getting cold out there?
Oh, my God. It's so fucking cold.
Yeah, I heard that. I know last time you guys were in, we were all having the cold wave, but
yeah.
No, I think it was 50 degrees. It snowed this morning, and it was 50 degrees this afternoon.
Yeah, I went outside, took a walk, and was sweating.
Yeah.
I mean, when we did the actual like tapping for the
it was
beer,
cold.
It was cold, and it
snowed. I mean,
snowed
I think there was ice on our door. It was so cold.
I just remember we like were expecting a bunch of people, and everyone's like, I don't know, the weather's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man, get some four-wheel drive, just plow
right?
through it. A couple of beers, you won't even notice the snow.
Right? They're not going to give you, how do they know you're swerving?
Exactly.
Snow?
I'm just, you know, just hooning a little bit, man.
Can't see the lines.
My back tires broke free, you know, just fishtail a little bit.
Right?
We do not advocate drinking and driving. That is inappropriate.
But if you're going to do it, do it while it's snowing.
Yeah, do it when it's hard to get caught.
Safe for your landing.
Well, I'm hoping if, once we get through these beers, we have some Modern Times, the Mega Fortunate Islands Double IPA. So, pretty stoked on that, actually.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be fun.
Pete, did you have Modern Times when you're out in California?
Hell yeah. Actually, I was just talking about how their coffee beer is like my favorite coffee beer ever made.
That's right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I haven't had any of their stuff at all, but
please send.
Right. Well, now that we feel like we've gotten to know Zach a little bit, should we ask him some of our good questions now, Pete?
Hell yeah.
Are you ready for this, Zach?
Is it just, yeah, they're probably just like, what do you look like naked, right?
Some ways, yes, some ways, no.
Well, that was going to be my first and only question, so thanks for ruining it, Zach.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm here.
No drum roll for that one now. Pete, why don't you go ahead and ask your question first, and because yours are always good. I never know what you're going to ask before you get there. They're always really funny to me.
Okay, so this one's actually pretty pertinent. Zach, these are called Good News, Bad News, and basically I give you something that's really good, and then I follow it up by something that's really bad that counters it,
okay.
And then I ask you how many times you would do it or what you would do to do it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You'll get it. I get shittier at explaining this every time. Fun fact.
Yeah.
But okay, so the first one. The good news is now you can make yourself completely sober at a moment's notice. So we were just talking about driving drunk. If you have to drive or whatever, bam, you can turn off your drunkenness.
Okay.
But the bad news is that it only lasts for 10 minutes, and then you have explosive acidic diarrhea, and you are drunk again.
So it's like going to Taco Bell?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yep. You're sober for, it's like eating something really spicy at Taco Bell. You're totally sober for 10 minutes, and then you shit your pants, and you're drunk again. So what do you think the best time to use this would be, and how often do you think you would use this? Remember, it's only 10 minutes before you shit your pants, too.
I would say on a really cold day, at least it'd be warm.
I knew we had an optimist here.
At least it'd be warm, and then you're going to sober back up and be like, oh, screw it.
Well, here I am.
Throw them in the trash, jump in the shower.
So you're telling me the only time that you would use this is if you were cold. You would shit your pants to keep warm.
I mean, it gets cold sometimes.
I mean, that's a very practical use of the situation.
That is. It's way more practical. I was expecting, like, you know, if I got pulled over by a cop, I'd just be like, oh, I'm totally sober, and then leave and shit your pants in the car. But, I mean, keeping warm with your own shit.
Well, I think you want to shit your pants when the cop pulls you over. And it's like, man, I gotta go.
The cop's not going to want to throw you in the back of the squad car with the pants full of shit, you know?
Or you do it while he's loading you in the back of the squad car.
Just to punish
him. Pushes you over onto the curb. It's like,
walk
I don't know what happened. I got too relaxed when you pushed me over. I'm sorry, officer. I don't know what happened.
It's a weird fetish.
Yeah. It's a weird... Curbs are a weird trigger for me, man. Yeah. I don't know what it is. That's a good one, Pete. I feel like I would probably use that more than I'm proud to admit. Would be my answer.
Yeah, like if a parent called on the weekend or whatever and you've been day drinking, like you could totally sober up before talking to them.
Oh, that's not going to stop me. My mom calls me drunk more than I call her drunk, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not a big deal. I'm thinking more in legal scenarios. Seeing yeah. how, I don't put myself in them very often, but seeing how I've had some brushes with the law, if I could avoid them again, I'd be willing to drop some underwear and possibly some pants.
It's pretty good.
To avoid a third strike.
Well, and that's the thing, is hopefully you got leather seats. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Otherwise, yeah, that's easy. Just going to absorb
if
right
you,
in.
If you have cloth seats, there's no way you're doing this with your car.
No. That's a good point, and I do have cloth seats, so I would have to be
outside. Unless you wrap your car in Saran Wrap, or with Saran Wrap.
Yeah. Or you're just always prepared and just wrap yourself, and it's like, well, I need to get out of this ticket, and I'm going to wrap myself with Saran Wrap real quick.
Just keep, like, a Saran Wrap diaper on yourself?
Yeah.
Or just wear a diaper. I mean, shit, you could go anywhere, wear a diaper, and be like, fuck, if I have to use this, at least I'm wearing a diaper.
I probably should wear a diaper most of the time anyways with my gambling record, so it's... I mean, really, now that I think this through and thinking about diapers and Saran Wrap, that wouldn't be the worst decision I've ever made.
So, old people diapers have a new subscriber, and that subscriber is...
And I'm not even old yet, but just approaching it.
Sam just liked their Facebook page. I can't remember what the adult diapers is called.
I used to have a shirt for one called Oops, I Crap My Pants, but I don't think it was real. I think that was an SNL skit.
I wish
skit.
It was. Yeah,
I wish I still had that shirt, man. I got a lot of laughs, and not that this actually benefited me, but a lot of dudes would hit on me when I'd wear that shirt for whatever reason. Just random side note to anyone looking to pick up guys. Oops, I crap my pants shirts.
I just ordered 4 of them.
All right. So my questions aren't quite as intricate as Pete's. Mine are just regular would you rather questions. Yeah. So, would you rather listen to only Justin Bieber for a month straight or stay sober for a month straight?
Oh, God, Justin Bieber.
Didn't even hesitate on that.
Good
one.
Man. Good man.
You said nothing about looking at the stupid fucker.
No, exactly. No, I didn't. It's just listening.
That's what pisses me off more than music is his stupid face.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
his face is really bad.
So.
And you know, a point someone made, I asked this question on Twitter and did like a poll and stuff, and someone made a really good point of, well, if you have to listen to Bieber for a month and you don't just stay sober, just get really drunk.
It's kind of like listening to another, like a woman or something.
Right? Just eventually just tune it out?
Yeah, that or you get drunk enough and you're like, yeah, all right, sure.
Maybe this ain't so bad after all.
Yeah, everybody's baby at that point.
That's true. Pete, I don't know the first time we asked this question, if you ever answered, where's your stance on this issue?
I would rather, listen to Bieber, listen to the Biebs.
Yeah. I think I would be doing it too. I've only heard like.
I mean, I'd probably be like, you know, obviously scarred for the rest of my life because I would know way too many of his songs. They'd probably like, you know, start repeating themselves in my head. Like, I'd get a Justin Bieber song stuck in my head, which would be awful, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is one thing I can definitely say has never happened.
You could also just get drunk and fly out and never remember anything.
Yeah, that would probably be the drunkest month of my life.
Yeah.
That'd be one for the record books.
Yeah, that'd be a monumental binge.
All right, Pete, what else you got?
All right. So, the good news is you have access to essentially any brew ingredient you want, despite its rarity, its price, its exoticness. So, you can basically just go to a giant store that has every ingredient that you could possibly want for brewing, and it's free. But the bad news is it's not actually free. To access it, you have to eat funnel cake dog shit.
Ooh, that's tough.
Good reason.
Every ingredient. So, like, you could get, like, you know, everything's in bulk. So, like, a 10-pound bag of hops or something. Like, you have to eat funnel cake dog shit to get...
It applies to me today because I'm working on trying to find... So, my dad owns a construction company called Saguaro Construction after the cactus. So, I've been trying to find saguaro cactus fruit.
Okay.
To brew like a Kolsch with.
Yeah.
And it turns out saguaro cactus fruit is one of the most expensive things in the world.
Really?
Holy shit.
Yeah, I found syrup today that it was $32 for an ounce of syrup.
Oh!
Holy fuck!
And how many ounces would you, you know, theoretically possibly like need? I mean,
I'd need like a good calorie.
It's like 120 28 ounces.
Yeah, times that by 32.
Yeah, I'm not good at math, but that's way too fucking much.
Brutal. You spend like $4,000 to make a beer.
Yeah, so I mean,
some deep fried dog shit, would that be worth?
Is it bad that I'd say it depended on the dog?
That's not something we've had answered that way before.
I mean, a dog that eats wet dog food, I already think wet dog food's gross. But,
yeah.
You know.
You get a whole different output.
A dog
from
that eats solely buffalo? Yeah.
Okay. So that could be a maybe?
Yeah, it's a maybe.
Pete, do you still have the one bite caveat for this one? I didn't hear.
No. You have to eat like an entire funnel cake of shit for this one. Because you can get like any, seriously, from any time, any point in history, if it even exists anymore, if it's totally extinct, you can get that. The caveat is you have to eat an entire plate of funnel cake dog shit.
And is it any amount, any quantity, or...
Like a usual funnel cake. Like a funnel cake you get at, like,
no,
a carnival.
No, I meant the ingredients.
Oh! You know, I actually didn't really think that far, or that much about it. I would say, like, just the standard, I guess. Like, how many pounds do you get with a hop bag?
Like, we buy hops, like, 44 pounds at a time.
Okay, so 44 pounds of really rare ingredients.
Yeah, probably not.
No, that's not.
I think I'm good. You know,
eating dog shit's not on the bucket list.
No, because I got kidneys I can sell.
There you go. Again, an optimist. That's good.
Sam, would you do it?
Since I don't have the, we asked a similar question like this before, and it was you could get like all the beer you wanted for like 3 years or something from a certain bar. And if you had, like, a bite just to try it out, you could get a week worth. You could get, like, your week free pass.
You get, like, prorated amounts of beer, depending on how much dog shit you
see, I could get, like, you know, oh, yeah, I want, like, three weeks of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
But, so, my whole thing was the one bite option. Like, all right, I could bite, I take a bite, see just how bad it really is, and at least get something to show for it.
Yeah.
This all-or-nothing thing, Pete, I've... As much as I would love to, I actually am in a similar situation. I'm trying to homebrew like a root beer Baltic Porter, and I want to use like the same herbs they use in like organic root beer, and that shit's expensive too. It's not quite.
Oh yeah, I remember Chad and I made 5 gallons of root beer, like the old school way with all the roots back in the homebrew days.
Yeah,
and I will never do it that way again. People always ask, well, why don't you guys make that root beer again? It's like, because I spent like $120 for 5 gallons.
Yeah. And unless you're making like a huge beer, it's, I think,
There is a cool way to get around some of that. If you go to NT, have you ever seen the NT? Like, it's like a tea shop that you can go buy like all kinds of that shit. They have a root beer tea.
Oh, okay.
That actually includes all the roots and the spices.
Oh, sweet.
So all you have to do is add, like, you know, if you want raisin, or you add the sugars and stuff.
Yeah.
That was actually a cool way to do it.
I might look into that. I'm still kind of...
Yeah, this tea tastes exactly like wheat beer.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. Like old school, like, unfiltered,
yeah, like
pissed off grandpa root beer.
how was the root beer that you brewed with all the roots, like the really expensive one?
It's bitter and bitey,
just as it should be, the way for it to go.
Do you think it was worth it?
To do it once or twice, it was fun. I mean, it depends on the crowd it's for. I mean, if I was going to have a root beer enthusiast, it's like, yeah, I'd definitely do it again. I would never give that shit to kids.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I did have my little cousins come over, and they were like 7 years old or something. We'd had them over for them, the folks over for dinner and everything. And I gave them each just a shot glass of it.
Oh, yeah.
Those kids ran my front door to my back door. I mean, in and out, just
just amped up like it was nobody's business.
Like a hooker who's having a sale.
That's crazy. So it was, yeah, so it's crack for kids. For speed, I guess.
It was a lot. But, I mean, 5 gallons, we put like 5 pounds of honey.
Oh.
I mean, it was just.
Holy shit.
You didn't mess around. You went big on that
one. It was real root beer, and it was good, but I would never suggest you give that to your kids.
Yeah. And that explains why, especially there, because wild kids are hilarious when you can, you know, put them over in a corral somewhere.
Well, yeah,
let them bounce off each other.
I mean, give it to your kids, but carry a tranquilizer.
Yeah, like an old school. Yeah. Will Ferrell had.
Yeah, right in the neck.
Oh. So, in the theme of ingredients, would you rather be able to go back in time and try any beer from history, or go forward and try the beers of the future?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say go back in history.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of lost styles. Mm-hmm. That's what we can build off the future styles.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing the resurgence of the Goza and the Goose hugely right now.
Yeah. Gozas I'm seeing all over the place. I agree with that 100%.
I think another good one, we make it during the summer. It's a Grodzicki. It's the only style of beer that historically ever came out of Poland.
Okay.
It's 100% wheat malt, smoked wheat malt.
Huh.
Oak smoked wheat malt.
Wow.
And it runs off of like a German Kolsch yeast. It's really light hops. I have some Polish hops here in the brewery called Junga.
Okay.
It's a great cellar, and it's a perfect barbecue beer. That's what I think, though. These older styles are just fun. I'm a big guy on the Eisbock.
Okay.
I love a good Eisbock, but I think I'd love to try those old ones that of how the style got created when in Germany you just had fucking some goofy drunk dude going, well, the keg's frozen, what should we do? And it was like, well, shake it up and we'll drink what we
see
can.
See what happens, man.
So I think that's a really cool style to try.
I'm with you in that I would love to go back and try the original styles, like to see how they've evolved from.
I would even like to try some of the stuff from the coolers. I mean, to see.
Oh, yeah, like when they originally started brewing
you
and stuff.
You know, how that was. Because, I mean, I'm still a guy that drinks a lot of Banquet.
Yeah.
I would be curious to see what the Prohibition stuff was that they did.
Yeah.
Some of the ales. Before America became a lager country, it was a big ale country. So let's try some of those. I'd also love to go back to England and try the porter, brown, and mild.
Yeah.
Because those are a 3 breakdown of style. And, you know, at that point, it was table beer. The mild was this beer that was not only mild in alcohol, it was mild in sourness, it was just, but it was like a porter still.
Yeah.
I hear all these stories that have been passed down about, grandpa would go out into the, he'd put the vat of beer a mile out into the woods where he knew everything was good, and then 10 days later, that was why the mild was so popular, is because you could get it in 10 days or so.
Oh, yeah.
But then you had the porters. I think trying some of the early stouts in Ireland would be really interesting. I heard Guinness, their most popular beer is actually a porter.
Okay. Versus how we
get have
it.
You guys ever seen, there's a National Geographic's actually on Guinness. Probably one of the coolest things I've ever watched. It goes into, they have like the big holiday out there for the guy that founded Guinness.
Okay.
About how when Guinness first started growing, like in early 1800s, the government of Ireland tried to come by and say, hey, you're using way more water than we thought you were going to. Can you stop? And he came out with a pitchfork and pretty much said, fuck off.
As any good Irishman would.
It's a great documentary. If you guys can ever see it, National Geographic's on Guinness. But
I'll check it out.
On that day, they served mostly their porter.
Okay.
Which was, I guess, one of the original recipes.
Huh. I just know, I know people that have been over to Ireland and done the tour, and they're all pretty consistently, they just say Guinness in Ireland tastes nothing like the Guinness we get here.
Well, because most of our Guinness, I believe, is brewed in Canada.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's Canadian. Yeah.
I think it's brewed at the same brew's Red Stripe in Canada.
Oh, really?
And then I was just doing some research. Have you guys had Lion Lager or Lion Stout? It's a beer out of
Lion
Sri Lanka.
Stout, yes.
I've had Lion Stout. Oh, man, I do not like that.
Yeah, it's a rough one. That brewery is actually the brewery that they brew Carlsbad beer, which is a popular one over Australian, I think, beer. But that's also the, I guess, Eastern Guinness brewery.
Oh, okay.
That's where Guinness is brewed if you get it in China or Australia, New Zealand area.
Okay. That's interesting. I guess I never thought that they would have even a third facility, but yeah, I mean, that makes sense, kind of have it in several corners of the world.
We were just having a talk when I got in today about Stone is no longer brewing Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah, I think that was one of it. I think they made a 2.0 version of it or something like that.
Yeah, Stone is having, Great Divide brews Arrogant Bastard for Stone.
Really?
And there was an article that just came out. There's 12 breweries across the country that are brewing Arrogant Bastard because Stone is just we've got other stuff to do, I guess.
we got other beers to make, I guess, yeah. Well, that's weird. I hadn't heard that they were getting contract brewed by other people. I just thought they had kind of discontinued it, and they were
Yeah, it's being brewed down at Great Divide from what I heard.
Huh. Well, no wonder they need that big old factory down there.
Right?
Shit. Pete, you got any more good news, bad news questions?
No, actually, I only had two for tonight.
All right. I might have one more would you rather to top this bad boy off.
Go for it.
So I'm going to – this is one we asked Airman and Scarbs. And this is more of a glassware question than anything. Would you rather drink beer out of a green bottle shaped like dick and balls or out of a brown bottle shaped like two spread butt cheeks? No glassware pouring allowed.
Isn't either one of those better than a Lucky Buddha bottle?
I immediately thought of Lucky Buddha.
That's exactly what.
That didn't even cross my mind when I wrote that question.
Well, I don't know, because there is that one beer that's being made now called is it Happy Streak? Or
I haven't heard of
something.
That.
It's a can. It actually has an old man in his whitey tidies. And shit stain coming out of
the brown note.
Yeah, is that an Atwater?
No, it's Against the Grain.
Against the Grain.
Down in Louisville.
Yeah.
I went to the brewery down there, and they didn't have it on
tap. I took my wife, and she saw that can in the liquor store, and she's like, who the fuck would drink? Who's going to drink it?
Yeah, someone, a friend of ours had some cans of that, and I was looking at it, this is just really gross.
It's a chocolate brown, man.
It is. The funny thing is, it looks like there's just a big stream of shit coming out of his pants.
Yeah.
It's really just bad design of the label. It's, supposed it's to just be
design.
Splattered, on his whitey tighties. Yeah. But the back of it is
the
same
color.
The way
that the can looks.
Yeah, it looks like he's just... Pete, you should look this up because it's foul.
So that's kind of that's worse than the butt cheek one.
Because you actually have a visual...
And the cock and balls one I just feel is a... weird weekend in Vegas.
Yeah, right. What happens there stays there, kind of.
Oh, well, guy bought me a couple of drinks at a gay bar.
One thing led to another.
I got this cool cup.
Now I got this cool cup to show for it.
He sat on my cup, and I don't know,
He just about sprayed Modern Times beer on my microphone. I've only been to Vegas once, but our experiences were very different.
Last time I was in Vegas, I shotgunned... They had a 40-ounce can of Bud Light Lime Arena.
Oh.
And I shot it. And threw up. And my pregnant, at the time, wife said I was an idiot. And then we went to bed.
That seems like the appropriate sequence of events for doing something like that.
Yeah.
40 ounce. So I've been wanting to do like some sort of sampler with the Bud Light Aritas and stuff, either taste testing all of them or just doing something stupid like that. I don't know if I could shotgun every once in a while.
I'll jump on I don't know if you guys are familiar with the YouTube beer community much, but there used to be a beer reviewer, Joe D.
Okay.
He has his own like Google Plus show now. And I've been on there a couple of times, and every time I'm on there, we definitely end up in the talks of Limerita. When a new one comes out, we all try to review it together.
Just go through the notes.
Oh, man. There's the Limerita is probably the best one. I mean, the cranberry one is terrible.
I think I've only had the strawberry Rita.
The mango one is really sweet. The strawberry one is really sweet. They're just not good.
Yeah, they seem just like Heartburn City to me. That's where I land on.
Yeah, it's right up there with the Kalamatas.
Yeah.
Or whatever Bud Light called it.
Yeah, the Clamato or whatever.
Yeah,
the
Clamato.
Tomato those juice were so one. Gross.
They were bad.
I think one actually had clam juice in it, too, is why they call it Clamato. Yeah. Or Clamato, however my Midwest sensibility is pulling in Clamato.
Yep. But, yeah, it's one way to get drunk, I'll tell you that.
That it is. That is...
It's one way to not get drunk ever again in the morning, though. Those all have really fucking nasty hangovers.
Oh, yeah. It's too sweet.
So much sugar. All the sugar. Well, Zach, thanks a bunch for joining us. And again,
yeah,
thanks for having me, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. It was good talking to you. Thanks for the modern times.
This is a pretty good beer.
Yeah. I have been trying not to go, wow, every time I take a sip.
It's definitely West Coast.
Yeah. It's... Fruity is like just in the hops.
Yeah, just super fruit. Citrusy. That's, I guess, a question I'd have before we quit, I guess, for you guys. Like, are you guys West Coast IPA guys? Or where do you see IPAs going in the future? I guess would be my question. West Coast, English, East Coast, I mean, a mixture of that. Like, what's going to happen with IPAs?
My preference lies in more the East Coast style. Okay. I like a good bitter kick in my IPA.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I like the sweet aromatics of a West Coast. Like, if there could be one that eventually meets in the middle perfectly, that'd get my engine revved real good. As far as where it's going in the industry, I don't know, because I feel like it's been, like, worn out really hard, just, like, being, you know, that go-to beer that everyone was drinking for a long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if anything, I think sessions are going to continue to keep... kind of pushing it, if you will.
Okay.
Just because it's easier drinking. People can drink, you know, a six-pack of those and not be totally shit-canned. So, I think there's room to grow there. You know, there's a lot of people that are making session IPAs that are, to me, seem more like just pale ales.
Yeah.
So, that's my hot take on that. Pete, do you have any
thoughts? Yeah, I was going to say that I think sessions will probably be pretty big for a while. I think you'll see a lot more this summer, especially. But I think... I really like West Coast IPAs, to be honest, and I would like to see more of them, but yeah, they are, it is kind of one of those styles that everybody has a fucking IPA because people drink them and it makes money. Why would you not have it? I mean, it's a staple beer, but I would like to see more West Coast IPAs, I guess. That's,
you know, ours is definitely an English style IPA, and it's one of those that it's either you talk to a bar that's so sick of selling West Coast IPAs that they're like, I need to get this, or they say, that's all we're selling is West Coast IPAs. Like, we want you to pretty much release a Pilsner that is 120 IPAs.
Yeah, a real hoppy glass of water, please.
I think that Ska Mandarino is killer.
Oh, that's one of my
favorites. I don't know if you're getting that one out there, people.
No.
It's modus operandi, pretty much with mandarin oranges.
Yep, that's the best way to sum it up. Pete, I'll see if I can find some and send some to you, because it is really,
It's a new year-round.
Okay, I knew they kind of did it sporadically, but if they're doing that year-round now, that's awesome news, because that's...
Hell yeah.
That's probably the first beer I've bought multiple six-packs
of. That's a crusher, and I mean, Modus is always a crusher anyways, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Modus has been one of my, like, go-to IPAs out here.
Add that, like, mandarin orange to it, and it's just, like, stupid.
It is stupid good. That's probably the only way to put it.
Cool.
Well, Zach, thanks again.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, let us know.
Check in and see how the things with the brewery are going.
Yeah, if you want
to. I'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, if you want to stop by and hang out for the Collab Fest beer, I'll get you the dates that we're going to do that.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe you could, you know, grab a couple of snippets from the guys from Lime Tree as well or something.
Yeah, that'd be totally cool. Yeah. I think that'd be awesome. I'd love that.
Cool.
Well, sweet.
All right, guys, thank you.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers. You can catch the Beer and Loathing podcast on our website, beerandloathing.com, and you can also find us on iTunes. All of the episodes are finally back up because I figured out what the fuck I was doing there. But also be sure to check us out on the social media places like Facebook, facebook.com/beerandloathing, Twitter @beerandloathing, and finally, bum, 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 we have Instagram @beerandloathing. So hashtag your fucking pictures of whatever it is you're drinking or whatever it is you're flashing. Hashtag BNL6. I mean, Pete loves dicks and boobs, so don't let him down. So hashtag that shit BNLpics. We'll share it on our face, our Facebookgram profile.
Yeah, our MySpace to face to grams.
And then always, if you're into the video more than the audio, check us out on YouTube at TuneIn Get Drunk. That's our channel name, and I can almost guarantee you that's exactly what you'll do. So get in on it. Do you?
I knew as soon as I was saying paradox. I'm like, it's not paradox. And then it was like, is it Rhino? No, it's not River North, you son of a bitch. And then you were like, chain reaction. And I'm like, fuck.
It's all right. That's like when you couldn't remember Ryan's blog's name when you started this up again.
Yeah. Yeah.